So 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be looking at two verses, and we're actually kind of going to do a review of what we have covered so far. But before we jump into the review part, I again want us to read the two verses that we'll be going through tonight. Again, it says this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." There's something that Paul was doing here. He was understanding that Timothy had grown weak. And when somebody grows weak, specifically a pastor or a leader, that church is also in trouble from becoming weak themselves. Paul was writing not just to encourage Timothy to be strong in Christ, but he was writing so that Timothy would encourage the church to be strong in Christ. And so the first thing that I want us to cover tonight is, what does it actually look like to be a strong church versus a weak church? Because something I have here on this piece of paper is this: weak churches are the result of weak pastors and weak leaders. And weak churches make pastors and the congregation subject to a few things. The first thing I want to tackle tonight is this, that one of the things that you are subject to with a weak church or weak leaders or pastors is being overwhelmed in the smallest of issues and problems. That is for your life personally, that is for the church, that is for the pastor. When it comes to problems of any size, do you find yourself being overwhelmed? Do you even know how to go to the strength that is available for you in Christ Jesus? Or if any problem is bigger than a pebble, it absolutely rolls over you in your life and you don't know what to do from there. We should be very, very leery of leaders who are not standing in the strength of Christ. And every single time a problem comes into their life, they begin to melt. We should be leery of those who truly do not latch on to Jesus Christ in the hardest and even in the trivial seasons of life. We need leaders, we need pastors that are an example to the congregation, that not only do they believe in the strength of Christ, but they practice the strength of Christ in their life. Because if people cannot come to the church to find strength in their problems, where is it that people can go? We need to be examples as leaders, as elders, and as a congregation that we believe in the power of the strength of Jesus Christ by not being overwhelmed in the smallest of issues all the way up to the largest of issues in our lives. The next thing that you're vulnerable to is this: having no confidence in and understanding of the Word of God. Weak churches, weak pastors, weak leaders, and weak individuals are not all about the Word of God. They aren't desperate for it. It is not where they go to when they are going through difficulties in their lives. Some people go to friends just for worldly advice. Some people go to money to give them some sort of security. Sometimes people go to their natural ability to find the strength in their life. The question is, do you view the Word of God as a resource for God's strength? Is it a place that you go when life gets difficult, or is it kind of something you break in case of emergency? Because so many Christians wait till they have tried every other thing they can try and then they turn to God. That is not the way that we should live in our lives. God should be the first place that we turn, even in the smallest issues of life. There is no issue too small, there is no issue too big that God does not want to be involved in our lives. Because us trying to handle small issues will eventually lead us to trying to handle large issues, and in that, receiving glory for ourselves when things seemingly seem to go our way. And this is why it is so important for us that every single time we encounter a problem in our life, that we never go to our strength, but we go to the Word of God and see what God has to say about this situation or what He has promised to do in the life of someone going through something that you possibly might be going through. Another thing that they are vulnerable to is turning to worldliness and psychology to help people. Unfortunately, none of these kind of worldly things can do anything to resist the flesh. The flesh is not going to submit to worldly wisdom. The flesh is not going to submit to worldly disciplines. The flesh actually is fine deceiving you to think that you have control over it, because the goal of the flesh is death. And the flesh really does not care how you die. It just simply wants you to die. It does not want you to enjoy the strength of God in any measure at all. And in fact, it is absolutely against the things of God. Our flesh does not want to submit to the things of God. And so therefore, we should not go anywhere but to God if we want to have victory over our flesh. We should not turn to worldliness and psychology if we want to be a church of strength. So often we go to false teaching and teachers. Why? Because they tell us what we want to hear. We live in a culture of comfort. And false teachers and false teaching is all about you being comfortable. And yet we see when we open up this book that life is not called to comfort. In fact, we are told we're going to have suffering in this life. And comfort without suffering is usually not good for us as people. When there is affliction or where there is suffering and comfort comes in it, that is usually a way that we experience the strength of God. But to want comfort absent of suffering, absent of affliction, is something that will slowly put you to sleep and make you start to trust in yourself and forget how desperate we actually are for God in every single thing we do in our life. Understanding common grace is so important. Because we seemingly look around in this world and people seem to be strong. And yet, any strength that you ever see in anybody's life is a grace from God. There is not a man or a woman alive who is strong in and of themselves. And this is so important for us to understand. Because we all in and of ourselves are helpless to overcome anything in this life. And yet we serve a loving and gracious God that is even good to those who do not even acknowledge him. So how much more should we go to our good God as his children when we are in seasons of difficulty in our lives? And yet, so often, even as his children, we love to go to teachings of comfort. We love for somebody to just tell us that God wants us to be happy. God wants everything to go our way. God wants us to be prosperous in the things of this world. And yet when we look in the scripture, we see men and women who delighted in suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that his name be made great and God's strength being demonstrated in their lives as they went through many hardships. And lastly, so often we see them subject to fleshly desires and biblical compromise. We live in a culture where this is becoming less and less relevant for so many who claim the name of Christ. And how they feel is becoming supreme and superior to what the Word of God has to say. Fleshly desires are feelings. Biblical compromise, these are the things that take away the strength of a believer and cause us to have a culture of sensitivity where no one can even be corrected anymore by the Word of God, but instead we just let everybody do as they please at the risk of offending anyone with the truth of God's Word. And so often it isn't even God's Word that we want to offend people with, but it's our own political views on things, or our own preferences of things, or lesser things that we're willing to offend people for, but very few people who claim the name of Christ are willing to offend for the truth of God's Word. And then we wonder why there is so little strength inside of the church today. We wonder why there is so little strength inside of the Christian today. Because so often we talk about the strength of God, but very few of us practice or walk in the strength of God. And tonight, I believe that already in this letter, Paul has pointed to Timothy, who is obviously struggling with everything that is going on inside of his church context, of some areas in his life that he can go to find strength. And so let's talk about those strengths that we see here in the first chapter of Timothy tonight. In verse 1 it says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. There are two things that I want us to draw out of this tonight. That Paul believed his calling was by the will of God. If you are going to have strength in your salvation, if you are going to have strength in the work that God has given you to do with the gift that he has given you in your life, you must believe that you have been called by the will of God. Not that you in and of yourself mustered up some strength to one day decide that you want God in your life, but that God called you and that you are his son or you are his daughter. And one of the strengths is knowing that it is God's will that you are his child. And we can trust that God's will be done in our lives. And Paul's strength came from knowing that God had called him to be an apostle. And he knew that regardless of what kind of opposition he faced, regardless of how difficult his life got, his confidence was in God's calling on his life. And it was confirmed not just by some feeling that he had, but by his brothers and sisters. It was confirmed in the power of God in his life. It was confirmed in seeing a strength that absolutely made no sense as he was coming against so many hardships in his life. His life was screaming out that I was called by the will of God. The next thing we see here is that he was called by the will of God according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul held on to the life that is in Christ Jesus, even on the brink of death so many times. Paul was beaten to a point so many times where people thought he was dead. He was in situations where most would have thought would end up taking his life. But he knew even if he lost his life, there was great gain in it. This life wasn't it. He knew that the fullness of life would not be found here, but there was a life that he was looking to that he believed in exchanging everything in this world to gain Christ was better than anything he could ever have here. And that promise of life helped him endure through some of the most difficult circumstances and situations beyond what most of us would ever even think of, let alone experience in life. And yet this promise of life was a thing that kept him stable through some of the most difficult seasons in his life. When you are struggling, do you go to the confidence that you have been called according to the will of God? When you are struggling in your life, do you go to the confidence that no matter what happens to you in this life, you will obtain the reward that Christ has for you, waiting for you to be a joint heir of Christ and to have the fullness of life and eternity with him? Is that something that holds you fast in life? Or do we find ourselves going to things that we talked about that are present inside of weak pastors, weak leaders, and weak churches? Let's move down to verse 3 of chapter 1. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors. It should bring strength into your life when you think about those who have come before you and that they trusted in the faithfulness of God. Other people trusting in God's word, trusting in God's faithfulness, trusting in God's strength should bring a strength into your life. Seeing God be faithful to others should bring a strength into our lives. Reading about the great faithfulness of God given to so many saints through the hundreds and hundreds of pages of this book should bring strength into our lives. One of the things that brought strength into Paul's life was the heritage of those who had followed Christ before him. The heritage of those who trusted in the Messiah to come before him and suffered in so many ways, but their strength was found in what it was that God promised to do. And it was an unshakable strength, not just for Paul, not just for his brothers that were there with him, but an unshakable strength for those that were before him and an unshakable strength for those that would come after him. And their testimonies was a strength for him in their life. When you get weak, do you go to the testimonies of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you ask them to tell you of the victory and the things that God has done in their life to build you up and help you to trust God again when your trust in Him has begun to falter? Do you go to this book and read about those who trusted in God and were not left alone, were not defeated, but people who were seeing the faithfulness of God over and over and over again? Paul was looking at Timothy saying, brother, you can trust God because there are generations of faithfulness that came before you. And brother, you can trust God to know there will be generations of faithfulness that will come after you. This should bring strength into our lives as believers. Verse 6 says this, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Something that we need to look at here is that God gives us gifts to do His will. God doing great things through us should give us strength when we don't feel like He is doing anything at all. There are going to be seasons of drought in your life spiritually where you feel like God has forgotten you. If not, we wouldn't have some of the promises that we have, like, I will never leave you nor forsake you, or that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why do we have those promises? Because at times our circumstance will make it appear like God has left us. But do not forget what it is that God has done in you and through you. Do not just bypass those realities of something as chance, because it is the will of God that He used you. It is the will of God that you were transformed. And it is the will of God that others have been encouraged and strengthened and transformed through the thing that God is doing through your life. So never devalue the work that God is doing in and through you. Remember, if you do not have a book where you write down your prayer requests and write down when they're answered, if you do not have a book where you write down when God does an amazing thing in and through you, you are robbing yourself of a source of strength. Reading journals for me, reflecting back, thinking about the things that God has done in my life is a source of strength for me to persevere. It is also encouraging for me to read about times when I was weak and now I am strong as an encouragement that the strength is going to come. Because the strength is always not just simply, I pray and strength comes. We must fight for our strength in Christ. But you can rest assured that He is a faithful God that will bring the strength into your life. But so often, we do not reflect on the great things that He has done. Back to verse 3, because I skipped this one. It says this in the second part of it. With a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Why do we gather for prayer before service on Thursday and Sunday? Because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that prayer brings power into our lives and into the lives of others. We believe that. If not, why in the world was Paul praying for Timothy as diligently as he was, knowing that Timothy was struggling, because he's encouraging him to be strengthened? He believed that his prayers were a means in which God can bring strength into somebody's life, so he was faithful in praying for Timothy. Do you actually believe that about your prayers? And I'm not talking about in word, I'm talking about in practice. Very few Christians would say, no, I don't believe my prayers are powerful. Most Christians would say, yes, I do, but does your practicing of prayer show that you believe your prayers are powerful? When you hear that a brother is struggling, is your first thing that you do to go to your own savvy to make them feel better, or do you stop and pray? When you are struggling yourself, do you sit and try to figure it out and ponder on it and say, what should I do, or do you go to prayer? When we think about Paul's prayer here, he's talking about constantly in prayer, night and day. That's how important prayer was to Paul when it came to strength. And he wanted Timothy to understand that. He was setting a standard for him as a leader that he should be desperate for prayer. So often we go to so many other means before we go to prayer because we don't have a conviction that prayer is powerful, that prayer brings strength. We don't have a conviction of that. We have an idea of it, but we don't have a conviction that moves us to get up in the middle of the night when we are struggling because we've been up all night because it's storming and I can't fall asleep, or the baby's crying, or I'm full of anxiety and stress, and instead we go to our phones, we go to a TV, and we don't fall on our knees in prayer and say, God, I'm desperate for you. And we wonder why there's so little strength. For some of us, just to pray for 5 minutes seems exhaustive, and yet we see a man who believed in constantly being in prayer, night and day. We see a man who believed in the strength of prayer. Do you? In verse 7 and verse 14, it says this of chapter 1. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, and I talked about this before, or cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. And then in verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. We're going to see this word entrust again when we get back down to the two verses that we originally started in tonight, but to entrust means to deposit something incredibly valuable for safekeeping. So I will get into that here in a moment, but I wanted us to think about again in verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, this valuable thing that you have been given. We have the Holy Spirit that in this text shows us that it provides two things for us. One, gives us power, self-control, and love. In hardship, so often, self-control and love are out the window. When I am struggling, self-control and love are usually not at the forefront of what I'm thinking. Usually being out of control and unloving is usually what births out of me when I'm going through difficulty in my life. But yet we're told the Holy Spirit is in us to bring us a strength that is manifested in hardship, giving us a self-control and love in a situation that would rob someone without the Holy Spirit of power, of self-control, and of love. And yet there's a strength present that gives us the ability to display these things in hardship. And he also tells us in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to not compromise the truth, to not just give up on the thing that has been entrusted to us. Because of what? Hardship. Hardship makes us want to drop truth and run to something that will temporarily please. That's what we do. As soon as things get hard, we forget what we believe about prayer. We forget about what we believe with everything we've covered here so far. We drop it and we run to anything that in the moment will just make me feel good because I just want to be comfortable because we love comfort. We worship at the altar of comfort. And until you admit that for so many of us, our main goal in life is to be comfortable, until you admit that, the strength of God will not be something that you delight in as you should. Because instead what you will delight in is any little thing that will make you feel good in the moment to get your mind off of the hardship, because you don't want to go through the process of trusting in the strength of God. And if he's not just going to give it to you by default, you're going to run to something that will be way more easy for you to grab and attain. And that is why what we believe is so important when we walk out this Christian life. Do you believe in a God who gives you through the Holy Spirit the power to have self-control and love and the ability to hold on to truth in the most difficult seasons of your life? In verse 9, it says this, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. It's because of God's purpose, not our works, that we have access to strength. It's not because of our works. It's because of his purpose. It's because of his grace. It's because of his goodness. He was not waiting for you to work up enough to be worthy of the graces that he gives to us. It is not because I'm perfect that God bestows upon me strength. It is because I'm desperate. It's because I genuinely believe I can't get it in and of myself. I am desperate for his strength. I fall on my face before him saying, God, I can't do this. There is nothing powerful about falling on your face, but I will tell you this. Sometimes it aligns our hearts correctly to go from proudly walking around the house praying to literally being flat on our face and admitting, God, I can't. I just can't. And so few people spend time flat in front of God, and yet we want his strength. We want to work for it. We don't want to be desperate for it. We want to earn it. And there is a big difference between those two mindsets. God, how much time do I need to pray here before you bring strength? God, how much scripture do I need to read before you bring strength? God, how many people do I need to tell about you before you bring strength? As opposed to, God, if you do not bring strength, I am helpless. God, if you do not act, I cannot stand up underneath the weight of this. And this is what he was proclaiming to Timothy. Timothy, you do not have a chance until you understand the only reason there is strength in you is because of God's purpose. If you try to work up this strength in and of yourself, you will fall apart. But if you admit on the front end, I can't, and you keep going to God through these different means that we've talked about tonight, admitting over and over, I need someone to tell me the goodness of God because I can't. I need someone to pray for me because I can't. I don't know if you've ever been there where it is effort to even pray. The question is, do you ask for somebody to pray for you? Are you that desperate, or do you just give up as soon as it gets difficult and be like, I just can't. This is too hard. I tried working and I just couldn't do it. So few people who claim Christ actually know the strength that is found in his power by absolutely being desperate for him. Verses 10 and 11 say this, in which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The work of Christ is a finished work, and it should bring strength into our lives. It should bring strength into our lives that he who began the work in you will be faithful to finish it. It should bring strength into your life to know that God will use all of these means to cry out to his children, to remind them of his strength. He will not stop short. He will continue to pursue and pursue and pursue till his children are strong, because this is what God does. He sends our brothers and sisters for us. He encourages us through the Spirit. He encourages us through messages. He encourages us through songs. He encourages us through someone just happening to stop by and be there for us that day. And we didn't even know they were going to stop over that day. We serve a God who is relentlessly pursuing us to get us to the end, because he has promised to finish the work that he has began in our life. And it should bring us strength that death has been abolished. That means it's defeated. That means it's done. That means it's not something I have to worry about anymore. And so often what takes away my strength is my doubting of whether I am still saved in my moments of weakness. I encourage all of you, as soon as you feel like you are not saved, to stand on what the Word of God says about your salvation and to wait on the Lord patiently until he brings strength into your life. Because he says he has abolished death. He says the work is finished. He says it was done before the foundations of the world, so I can confidently wait on him, knowing that the strength is going to come. Verse 13 says this, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. We have been given the word of God to follow. Not your interpretation of the word of God, not what you feel about the text, but what the text says. And I'm confident in it. I have some bad news for you. When Paul wrote his letters, he did not leave them up for interpretation. He did not say, guys, do whatever you want with this stuff. Hopefully it makes you feel better. He was confident in the power of the word of God. And he understood the absolute priority of good, sound doctrine. And he said, Timothy, if you're going to have strength, you must be secure in sound doctrine. It's not something that we give to you for you to have something to argue about with a bunch of intellectual friends. Doctrine is there for you to stand firm through the most difficult seasons of your life. If you do not know sound doctrine, you can rest assured you will be weak. But if you are a man or woman of sound doctrine, the strength that will come into your life will blow your mind, because it's not how you feel about God. Knowing your feelings will change. It's what you are knowing about God, what you are confident in about God, what you white-knuckle hold on to through the most difficult seasons of your life. This is where the strength of God comes in. Not in someone that just says, God, I want you to tell me things that make me feel good. No, God, I want you to give me things that will hold me fast through the most difficult storms of my life, knowing that you are faithful. And even when Paul was surrounded by false teachers, he held on to the truth of sound doctrine. Even when everyone around him told him he was a fool for believing it, he held on to sound doctrine. Even when everyone was compromising truth, he held on to sound doctrine. If you want strength, it is found in sound doctrine. In verses 16 through 18, it says this, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you will know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. God has given us community. But inside of every community, there will be those who forsake God. That's what we've seen in the portion of Scripture right before it. We see two gentlemen that Chris talked about last week. These gentlemen did not hold fast to truth. When times got tough, they walked away. And yet God faithfully will provide strength inside of community. Are you a person that is testified about that when you are in trouble, go to this person? They know how to do community. They know how to build up. They know how to grab onto someone and hold fast with them until the season is over. They don't just shout encouragement over to you. They get in the storm with you and stay there until it is over. He said, Timothy, this guy searched for me. I didn't have to go to him. He looked for me because he knew I was struggling. He knew that I would need to be encouraged because of the situation that I was in. True brothers and sisters in Christ don't wait for a call to go out for encouragement. They're looking to encourage. They're searching to encourage. They don't let you get away with everything's okay. Because I don't know if you've been a Christian very long, but very seldom is everything okay. If people are telling you, hey, you don't need to pray for me for anything, everything's great, you should wonder, why is everything great? Because what I see in this book is that we should have struggles. We should have sufferings. We should have hardships if we are following Christ. And so if it's been 3 months since you've had a prayer request, you should really reflect on, am I actually following Christ? And that is why as Christians, it should not be hard to find someone who is in need of strength. Because when we're surrounded by those following Christ, there are many people around us who need to be encouraged in this strength. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Inside of Christ, you are loved by God and you are loved by people. We see this great affection here. He calls Timothy his child. He's saying to him, "Timothy, I love you. But I also want you to know this, my love isn't enough. You need to be strengthened in Christ." Yes, we have been called to love each other. But do not be fooled into thinking that your love is enough to help someone persevere in the situation they are in. I can't be a good enough husband to help Crystal persevere without Christ. I can't be a good enough father to help my child persevere without the strength of Christ. I cannot be a good enough pastor to help you persevere without the strength of Christ. And you cannot be a good enough brother or sister and help somebody persevere without Christ. Everything is all about Christ. God's continuing grace in the life of the believer operates in justification, sanctification, forgiveness, and transformation. I am able to continue on because I know that I have been made just in Christ. I know that my debt is no longer before me, and that when God looks at me, he sees me as if I have not sinned. It keeps me going to know that positionally I am holy and he gives me the strength to walk in that holiness in my life. That should bring me strength. It brings me strength to know that his forgiveness never runs out. I cannot cross some line where God says, "That's it. That's enough. I'm done forgiving. I'm not interested anymore." You cannot exhaust the grace of God. I want to give you a truth. Christ was able to see every single sin you would commit, and his death on the cross covered every single one of those sins. You will never sin more than the grace that he has provided for you. But do not let that be an excuse to continue on sinning. And then lastly, transformation. And we talked about that earlier. Remembering the things that God has done in us and through us, even in those seasons where we do not feel anything is changing. He goes on to say this in verse 2, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Every Christian has the responsibility to teach someone else the truth that they have been given. Every Christian, but faithful men have the responsibility to make sure that it's getting done. Leaders, those who have been entrusted with the responsibility to not compromise this, must make sure that we are equipping people to give one another the sound doctrine that will bring strength into their life. Not some psychological nonsense, but the truth of the Word of God, that when life gets hard, this is what you preach to yourself, this is what you preach to each other, and this is what you give your ear to hear. We need faithful men in our midst that will never stop teaching and believing the Word of God even when it gets difficult. And one of the desires that Paul had for Timothy was that he surround himself with men who lived just like him, that held the same convictions and believed the same things and would walk through the same fires and difficulties and hardships with their head held high because of the strength that they had in Christ. He wanted Timothy to surround himself with faithful men. In this portion of Scripture, we see four generations of entrusting faithful men. We see the apostles in Christ entrusting Paul to do his mission. We see Paul trusting Timothy. We see Timothy trusting these faithful men, and we see faithful men trusting others to go and do this. This is what a healthy body looks like. Those that are passionate about faithfulness, those that are passionate about empowering people with the truth, the Word of God, sound doctrine, they're passionate about it. It's been entrusted to them, as it says here, something incredibly valuable for safekeeping. They will not let this go no matter how difficult life gets. They will hold it safe because they believe in the power of it. And that safekeeping is something that gives strength to everyone else inside of the congregation. So a few things of reflection tonight. When you think about strength, when you think about the strength of God, do you have a list like this of something you go to say, God, I will wait patiently in these things until your strength comes. I will dwell on these things. I will dwell on your word. I will sit with you. I will wait on you because I know you are faithful. And then if you don't know Christ, why continue on without this strength? Why live for nothing more than the things of this life when you could know this Christ? He is offering this grace through salvation to anyone in here tonight that would receive it. He's offering you forgiveness of sins through repentance. He's offering you the Holy Spirit that will enable you to do the things we were talking about tonight, to live a life that brings glory and honor to his name. But it's about repentance, it's about confession, it's about saying, God, you are my Lord. I don't live for myself any longer. I give myself to you totally. It's not about me anymore, it's about you, and I want to give my life totally to you and live for something that's worth living for, namely the glory of God. Because that is something that will ring for all of eternity. Things done in this life outside of Christ, they're gone when you die. But things done for Christ, they will bring worship to his name for all of eternity. Consider these things tonight as we have a time of silent prayer, and then I will pray us out here in a moment. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I pray that every believer in here will be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. I pray that every believer will wait patiently on you, Father, until you bring your strength that you are so faithful to give. I pray, Lord, that you will help us be men who are faithful to your word, that you will help us to be women who are faithful to your word. I pray that the leaders of this church will be entrusted with this great strength and truth, Father. And I pray that we will treasure your word and that we will give your word to those around us, that we will encourage them with it, that we will correct them with it, that we will encourage with it, Father, that we will share it with those who are lost so that they can be saved. I pray, Lord, that we will be faithful stewards of the things entrusted to us. And I pray, Father, if anyone came to know you tonight, we rejoice with them. And we rejoice with the angels in heaven. And we thank you, God, for what you've done here tonight in strengthening the Christian and in saving the lost. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.